Today we're going to take a look at the next few lines of the Gemara about which parts of Tanakh how great our expertise is in Tanakh. So if you look at the third medium-sized line on Daf Lamed Amud Aleph, Lefichach Nikru Rishonim Sofrim. The earlier generations used to be referred to as Sofrim. Show you Sofrim Kala Osios Shebetorah, because they used to count all of the letters in the Torah, meaning they were able to count all of the letters in the Torah, and they were able to tell you what the relative position of every letter in the Torah was. Show you Omrim Vav Dikachon Chetzin Shel Osios Shel Sefer Torah. They were able to tell you that in the pasuk Kol Holech Al Gachon V'Kol Holech Al Arba, that the Vav of the word Gachon is the halfway point in the Osios in the Sefer Torah, and they were able to tell you that in the pasuk it says Darosh Darash Moshe, Darosh Darash Chetzion Shel Tevos, that's halfway in terms of the words in the Torah, and they were able to tell you Vihiskalach Shel Psukim, that Vihiskalach, which is a pasuk Vayikra Perek Yud Gimel, is halfway through the psukim of the Torah. So how were they able to tell you all these things? Because they used to be very into this. They were like little computers. They would sit there counting things, and they would figure out what the halfway point is in all of these things. So and Yichar Semena Chazir Miyar Ayin Diyar Chetzion Shel Tehillim Vurachim Yichaperavon Chetzion the Psukim. Fine, they were able to tell you the halfway point of Tehillim, the halfway point of the psukim of Tehillim. Boy, Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef raised the following question. Vav du Gachon, mehagiso mehagiso. You said that the Vav of Gachon is the halfway point of the letters of the Torah. Well, which side is it on? Is it the last letter of the first half of the Torah? Or is it the first letter of the second half of the Torah? What do you mean it's the halfway point? Right? Which side of the line is it on? So, what would you have thought? What's a more simple solution? That it's an odd number of letters in the Torah, and that it's mamish, the halfway point. Right? I have four siblings. There are five children in my family. I'm the third. I'm the middle child. Right? That's so. Why don't you say that? So the Gemara is going to have this concept, this suggestion, that shishim ribo osios b'Torah, that there are 600,000 letters in the Torah. Now, that's an interesting suggestion, mostly because it's not true. There aren't 600,000 letters in the Torah. It's not even close. If you were to take it literally, you understand that there's some sort of mesorah, that there's an even number of letters in the Torah, and not an odd number of letters in the Torah. But even if you don't take it literally, we must assume that there must have been a mesorah over here, that there are an even number of letters in the Torah, and therefore there can't be a midpoint in the Torah. Samalei Nesi Sefer Torah V'Mninu. You want to know if it's the first letter of the second half of the Torah, or the last letter of the first half of the Torah? Let's bring a Sefer Torah, let's count it. Milo Amar Rabbi Bar Brachana, doesn't Rabbi Bar Brachana tell us Lo Zozmi Shama Shuviu Sefer Torah Manum? They actually, in the olden days, that's what they used to do. They would bring a Sefer Torah and count them until they arrived at a conclusion. So why don't we do the same thing? So here is the key line, says Gemara Amalei Inu Beki Bechaseros V'Yaseros Anan Lo Beki Inan. That they would know, the Chaseros V'Yaseros, they were experts in how many letters there are in the Torah. We're not such Bekiyim. We don't know exactly all the Chaseros and the Yaseros in the Torah. Good, that's the Gemara. The Gemara goes on, what about Vizkalach? Is that on this side of the Torah, the other side? So the Gemara says, Psukim we should be able to count. The Gemara says, no, we don't even know where the Psukim end exactly. There are Psukim that we may have as separate Psukim that really are supposed to run together. There may be Psukim that we have as a single Pasuk that maybe are supposed to be split into more Psukim. So we don't know exactly the Psukim either. So that's the issue with expertise in the Torah, that we're not experts in where the Psukim are, and we're not experts in where the letters of the Torah are. Now that line, that we're not Bekiyim b'chaseros v'yaseros, is a critical line because it really raises a whole bunch of questions. Meaning, if we're really not experts in the chaseros v'yaseros of the Torah, that should be troubling on a certain level. Because, why should it be troubling? If all of our Sifrei Torah have missing yods or extra hays or vavs or whatever, so that's a shaila about the kashrus of a Sifrei Torah. Our Sifrei Torah might be puzzled. So what? So what, our Sifrei Torah puzzled? We're doing our best. Yeah, what does God want from us? What's the problem if our Sifrei Torah is puzzled? We're not yet. Say what? So there's several mitzvahs we could talk about. So you're suggesting not Yotzei Kriyas HaTorah. Not just not Yotzei Kriyas HaTorah, it could be worse. What do you do right before and after the Kriyas HaTorah? A bracha. It's a bracha vatal. You're saying it on a possible Sefer Torah. What else are we not Yotzei? Possibly, potentially? Parsha Zachar, Mitzvah Daraisa. Mitzvah of Ksivas, Sefer Torah. You have a mitzvah, it's the 613th mitzvah in the Torah that nobody does that. The mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah. So we wouldn't be Yotzei. What about mezuzah and tefillin? These things require ksav shel Torah. And we better know what that ksav shel Torah is if we're going to be Yotzei. So these are all problematic issues. These are all difficult issues. And it becomes even more difficult in light of the Ramban. The Ramban is, in his Haktamah, his commentary on the Torah, has a famous line. I think we must have mentioned it several times. Od yesh biyodenu kabbalah shel emes. The Ramban says we have a kabbalah shel emes. Ki kol haTorah kula shmosav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The entire Torah is all names of Hashem. And then he gets mystical. He says, shatevos mischalkos l'shemos b'inyan acher. That you could break up the words to make different shemos in ways other than the way the words are actually broken up in our Torah. Kilu tachshav al derech mashal, ki pasuk bereishis yischalik l'tevos acheros. Like the pasuk of bereishis could actually be split up into other words. Kigon, birosh yispara elokim. Instead of bereishis bara, beis reish aleph shin birosh, then the yud tav attach onto the next word, yispara elokim. And that's meaningful. We would have said, that's nonsense. What are you talking about? That's not the words in the Torah. The Ramban says, no, every letter is critical because the letters are supposed to, you could be mitzari the letters, LP, whatever, nister, something that's beyond us, in ways that are meaningful. It's all representative of the Shem Hashem. The Kol HaTorah Kein. And that's true of the entire Torah. Milvad Sirafeim v'gematria Shem Shal Shemos. Aside from just the Shem Hashem. The whole Torah is Shem Hashem. This is probably the source of the Marsha in Maseches Brachos, when the Gemara in Brachos says, how do I know that there's a concept of Birchas HaTorah Lefneihem, that you make a Birchas HaTorah before you learn Torah? So the Gemara suggests, maybe it's Kal V'chomer, that Birchas HaMazon, you make a bracha before, then Birchas HaTorah, you should make a bracha before also. Well, Birchas HaMazon before is only Drabanan, we pass in the end of the day. Birchas HaMazon afterwards is Daraisa, right? So the Gemara says, how do I know that you say a bracha before? Pasuk. Ki Shem Hashem Ekra of Godel Elkeinu. The Apostle teaches us as Birchas HaTorah before. It says, Machlokas Rashi in the Marsha. What's that drasha? How do you see in that pasuk, Ki Shem Hashem Ekra of Godel Elkeinu, that you recite a Birchas HaTorah before learning Torah? How do you see it? So Rashi says, Ki Shem Hashem Ekra, when I say, Shem Hashem is, when do you say Shem Hashem? When you're saying a bracha. Ki Shem Hashem Ekra, I will say a bracha, and then Havugodel Elokeinu, I'm going to learn God's Torah. Marsha says no, the other way around. Ki Shem Hashem Ekra, when I learn God's Torah, Havugodel Elokeinu, I better give him some sort of compliment first, like a Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam kind of compliment. I better say something nice first. We had a model lesson in my class yesterday. I'm trying to find my replacement, and it was very cute. He had a bottle of water, and he said, and he was in the middle of a sentence, said, guys, I just want to say something. Tell me if you agree or not. Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Shehakol Nehiyeh B'Dvaro. And everyone answers, Amen. So, it's cute. Okay. Anyway, Ki Shem Hashem Ekra, Havugodel Elokeinu. That you're going to say the Shem Hashem means, says the Marsha, you're going to say Torah. Then, when you say Shem Hashem, Havugodel Elokeinu, you better say a bracha first. Where does the Marsha get the idea? Shem Hashem Ekra has to do with Torah? I get Ki Shem Hashem Ekra relates to a bracha, because you actually say the Shem Hashem, we say a bracha, like Rashi says. Who says Ki Shem Hashem Ekra means Torah? No, it's this. It's exactly what the Ramban is saying. That the entire Torah is a Shem Hashem. It's all Shemos of Shel Kodesh Baruch Hu. Ukvar Kosov Rabbeinu Shlomo B'Perushav B'Talmud Inyan Hashem HaGadol Shel Shiv Mishtayim. He says, you know, Rashi talks about this in his commentary to the Gemara, about the idea of the 72-letter name of Hashem. Be'eze inyan hu yotzi mishlosh psukim. Meaning, when it comes to the Shemus Hashem, the letters are important. The tseirufe yosios are important, and these are things that are beyond me. Maybe not you, but beyond me, and it's very, very difficult. But this is real. This is Kabbalah Shalemes. This is the Ramban was a master of Kabbalah. But here he says, and this affects the halacha. Umepneize sefer Torah she'ta'abo be'os achas b'malei o b'chaser. Puzzle. If you have a sefer Torah that's off by one letter, a malei, a chaser, anything, puzzles all sefer Torah. Ki zeh ha'inyin yichayev osan l'usel sefer Torah she'ech subo vav echad mimilas osan. You have the word osan, Aleph Vav Taf Mem, or Aleph Taf Mem. If it's supposed to be Aleph Vav Taf Mem, you write Aleph Taf Mem. Pasul. Wow. Afli Shenemal Vein Morid, even though it doesn't seem to make any difference, Kviyol B'Machshava. You look at it, the word, it means the same thing. Binyamin, with a yod, without a yod, doesn't matter, right? It matters. I mean, it matters because the Pasul Sefer Torah, it doesn't matter in the meaning. He says, and that's why throughout our history, people have worked so hard to get a proper Mesorah on the letters of the Torah. Who cares? It doesn't change the meaning anyway. What do I need a proper Mesorah? No, they worked on it. They worked on it because this expertise is critical. Without this expertise, we do not have the ability to have a kosher sefer Torah. We cannot be yotze the mitzvah of ksiva sefer Torah. We will be saying brachos of atalah on kriyas haTorah. It would be highly, highly problematic. That's what the Ramban says. Now, it should be noted that the Avnei Nezer in a tshuva in Simen Shin Nun Vav, he was asked about an interesting case. A sofer wrote a vav in the place where he should have written a yud, right? It should have been a yud, and the leg of the vav, I mean, the leg of the yud was extended to become a vav, so he scratched off the bottom of it and turned it into a yud. And then he remembers that that's a problem of chak tochos. So he wants to know, this is Sefer Torah Kasha. What's Chak Tochos? You familiar with the concept of Chak Tochos? When you do Ksiva, the letter has to be formed through your Ksiva. If the letter is formed by you scratching something out, that's not called Ksav. Let's say you just have a big black blotch of ink, and you scrape out enough ink to leave the form of a letter. That's not okay. That's not so common. The more common case is, a sofer is writing something, and two letters connect. The ink connects the two letters. So what he should do is erase the letters and rewrite them. But it's easier to just scratch out the connection between them. But that's a violation of Chak Tochos. It's a very scary halacha, because you can bring your tefillin or your mezuzah to get checked by a sofer, and they will never be able to tell if there was Chak Tochos. How can you tell? You can't tell by what used to be there. I have no idea what used to be there. So that's why when you buy a parsha of anything from a sofer, you have to make sure first and foremost that you can trust him. Not just based on, you know, how nicely he smiles at you, the length of his beard, or whatever, and anything else. You have to make sure that you can trust the sofer. And I would strongly recommend never buying secondhand. You know, you go into a random Judaica store, you have no idea who the sofer is. Whoever they have a relationship with. So you should, because the honesty is critical, you'll never know. If tefillin are written shalok sidron, puzzle, you'll never know. So the Avnei Nezer tries to come up with a heter over here. It's a vav, it should have been a yud, so he scratched out the bottom of the vav. And he writes, in Os Hey, in Simen Shinun Vav, in Avnei Nezer, Sad heter agimel litlos, shoyatikun biyud shebel adonami, Hayatevanikra. He says it happens to be the yud. It could be that the yud was an unnecessary yud. It was a letter that didn't even have to be there. It was a malei v'chaser. It was a letter that doesn't make a difference anyway. Rak shayateva chaser v'al yodah nasus malaya. Let's say it was a yud from the name Binyamin. Let's say, right? Not necessary. You could say the name without it. For such a mistake, we're not going to take out another Sefer Torah. You're going to try to take out another Sefer Torah, you're not going to know that Sefer Torah is any better than this one. Meaning, if it's a Yud that doesn't change the meaning of the word, we wouldn't put away the Sefer Torah for that. If a Yud was there that didn't belong there, or a Yud wasn't there that did belong there, we wouldn't take out another Sefer Torah for that, because who says the next Sefer Torah is going to be any better? We're not Pekin, Mechaseros V'Yaseros. So he points out that a lot of people disagree with that Ramah. And the Beis Yosef holds that we do take out another Sefer Torah, even for Chaseros V'Yaseros. And he says, Biprat shekosvu achronim de bizman hazeh anan bekiyin bechaseros v'yaseros af shebizman hashas lo hayu bekiyin. Wow. He says, you know why we have to take out another Sefer Torah against the Rama? If you find that there's a problem with chaseros v'yaseros? Yeah, in the Gemara's time they weren't bekiyin bechaseros v'yaseros. But now we're much smarter. We got it all figured out. So now we're good. So how does that affect this Yod that turned into a Vav? So one of the heterim we want to use is, if you assume like the Ramah that a Yod that doesn't belong there doesn't have to be there at all, so maybe a Yod that's possible won't ruin it, because that Yod didn't even have to be there. But if you assume like the Beis Yosef that we are Bekin B'Chaseros V'Yaseros, that we would take out another Sefer Torah even based on Chaseros V'Yaseros, so then this Yod does matter and this would not be Tzad Heter at all. But the point that he makes, that this whole notion that our Gemara says we're not Pekin v'chaseros v'yaseros, not so true. It used to be. It used to be true in the times of the Gemara. It's not true anymore. Nowadays we are experts. That's what he suggests. Now, this would answer the Kiruv organizations that enjoy using Bible codes to convince people of things. Right? When I was in 9th grade, I had a Chumash Rebbe who was very involved in Kiruv, still is, big tzaddik, does a lot of good work, and he ran like a seminar with us for a couple of days, like one of those Isha Torah seminars. He ran a Bible code seminar with us, where he showed us all sorts of interesting, if you count every 50 letters in this parasha, diagonally, upside down, whatever, you know, however you do, then you have all sorts of messages. 9/11 hadn't happened yet, so he didn't show us the 9/11 codes yet. That would have been cool if he could have, at that point, showed us the. If he could have showed us, you know, those codes. So, what, like, he would show us in the Parsha of Mishkav Zachar that if you count every 49 letters starting from the letter Aleph in the Parsha of Mishkav Zachar, it spells Aleph Yud Dalet Samach, AIDS. That's pretty cute. Okay, whatever, I don't know. So when I learned a little bit, as I got older, and I learned Kiddushin, I asked him once, how do you do the codes? We're not Pekin, but Chaseros V'Yaseros. Meaning all these codes are based on number of letters, how many letters away. The Gemara says we can't even count anymore. We don't even know the midpoint. We're not Pekin, but Chaseros V'Yaseros. Doesn't that ruin everything? So he told me at the time, he says, yeah, it ruins everything, but, you know, we never use the codes as the basis for Emunah. If the codes were the basis for being Makariv someone, then that would be a problem. He says it's a person who's already convinced and they just need, you know, an excuse to have that final buy-in. So sometimes the codes will do it for them. It will give them enough of a geschmack to buy in. I wasn't happy with that answer because that's dishonest. It's fundamentally dishonest. And what if they ever learn Kiddushin? Then that's it. I bought into what? But according to the Savnei Nezer, that Achronim suggest that nowadays we are Bekiyin B'Chaseros V'Yaseros, no problem. It's not just Achronim, the Ramban seems to say that, right? Ramban says, and that's why Ezra Sofer gave us a perfect Sefer Torah. And that's why Bali Masura later came along and tried to work it out. There was a Tkufa in the times of the Gemara where they weren't Bekiyin B'Chaseros V'Yaseros. Tremendous comment. Pashto says, though, most of the Rishonim Achronim assume that what the Gemara says is still true. That we're still not Bekin B'Chaseros V'Yaseros. And that is used by the Shagas Aryeh in Siman Lamed Vav to justify a problem that he finds. That, why is it there's a mitzvah in the Torah, mitzvah Taryag in the Torah, is to write a Sefer Torah. why doesn't anybody do it anymore? It's a mitzvah in the Torah. You're supposed to write a Sefer Torah. Right? Everyone, people wear tefillin, people take lulav, people eat matzah. What? Because it's expensive? I have a way to make it cheaper. Here's what you do. Instead of teaching children all sorts of other subjects in school, you should have a class starting as soon as the kid knows how to write in Safras. And he should write, and every kid should get themselves a klaf, make themselves a klaf, acquire for themselves a klaf, and every day, once they learn some basics of Safras, as they, from the time of Bar Mitzvah and on, till, you know, a couple of letters a day, till they're however many years old they are, a couple of words a day maybe, write. From the age of 5 to 13, train them in a class every day. Have them write Sefer Torah. It's a chiv in the Torah, it's a mitzvah daraisa. Every Jew must write a Sefer Torah. Why don't we do it? So most people say, I don't have 50 grand lying around, so I can't write a Sefer Torah. No, that's tired of someone else to do it. Why don't we actually teach ourselves how to do it? We teach ourselves how to do the Nanuim of Lulav. Why can't we teach ourselves how to do this? You have the Kasha? Strong Kasha, no? Yeah. So the Shagasari quotes the famous comment of the tour in the name of the Rush. Because of Adoni Yavi Arush, Shazel lo nemar al Doros Harishonim, Shaykosin Sefer Torah v'lom dimba. This was in the Doros Harishonim, where they would write a Sefer Torah and learn from it. But nowadays, no one learns from a Sefer Torah. You know what happens after they write a Sefer Torah? They put it in the Aron, and they just take it out when they want to do Kriyas HaTorah. Mitzvah saseh al kol adam Yisrael asher yadam aseges lichtov heichum sheitorah mishnah gemara perusheyam lagos pem rubanav. The mitzvah has now changed, says the Rush. The purpose of the mitzvah is to learn from the Torah that you write. No one learns from Sefer Torah anymore. So mele, the mitzvah is no longer to write a Sefer Torah. The mitzvah is to write from what you will learn from. And what's that? Gemaras, chumashim, whatever you learn from. It's to write svarim. How do I know that the purpose of the mitzvah of Ksivas Sefer Torah is to learn from it? Because it says, teach it to Bnei Yisrael Sima Bifiyam. Validea Gemara Perusha, Yeda Perusha Mitzvah Din Al Buriyah. And it's only through Gemara and Perushim of Gemara that we're really going to know Torah. That's how we learn. Lachain, Hein, Hein, Asarim, Shadim, Mitzvah, Lakosva. That's why we have a mitzvah to write. Svarim, not a Sefer Torah. Wow, what a hetzer. What an explanation. Says the Beis Yosef, I don't buy it one bit. How can you take a mitzvah in the Torah? This is Reform Judaism. You're taking a mitzvah in the Torah and saying, what's the theme of that mitzvah? What's the idea of that mitzvah? How does that mitzvah make you feel? And let's change the mitzvah based on what we view as the theme of the mitzvah. That is crazy. You know, there's a halacha in the Torah, a halacha in Shulchan Aruch, that if a person, Rachman al-San, loses a relative, he has to tear kriya, tear the garment. You know what they do in conservative and reform funerals? Why do we do kriya? What's the purpose of it? It's an overt sign of mourning. Everyone should be able to see by looking at our begad that that's a mourner, expressing their anguish. Well, how do people express mourning typically in America? What kind of clothing do people wear at a funeral? What? Black. Right? So in Reform and Conservative circles, they have a black ribbon and they pin it onto their suit. And that's how they tear kriya. Why should you tear a good suit? What's the idea of the halacha? Take the idea and ignore the halacha. But we don't do that. We're Orthodox. To do that with a mitzvah d'oraisa, the idea of the halacha is to learn, so you're going to take a mitzvah d'oraisa and change a mitzvah d'oraisa, it's stunning, shocking. And therefore, he says, furthermore, and if you're going to say it's because nowadays we leave the Sefer Torah in shul, so you know what the solution would have been? If you really hold that the purpose of the mitzvah is to learn from the Sefer Torah, and you say, well, we don't do that with our Sefer Torah, we leave them in shul, we leave them in the Aron Kodesh. You know what the solution would be? Don't leave them in shul, in the Aron Kodesh. Go take them out and learn from them. I mean, if you're so convinced that this is the reason for the mitzvah, so do it. No one's stopping you. So Beis Yosef says, this must be a misunderstanding of the Rush. What the Rush must have meant is that an additional fulfillment beyond just writing a Sefer Torah is to also write Gemaras and Perushim and everything else. And that's more of a mitzvah min hamuvchar than just writing a Torah. But to not write a Torah? No, never would have suggested that. Mitzvah stays. You just have to do a little more also. And he says, aside from that, I'm not convinced that this is correct, Shagzari says. That the reason for the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah is to learn from the Torah. How do I know that it's not correct? He says, there is a Gemara in Sanhedrin of Chaf Alvim Beis. Amar Rava. What if a person already has the Torah? I have a great uncle who passed away when I was a little boy, when I was, I don't know, 5 or 6 years old. And when he passed away, he didn't have any children. So he left money when he passed away. He didn't have much money either. But he left all the money that he had to go for writing a Sefer Torah in his memory. Because he didn't have any children. He wanted to leave behind a Sefer Torah. So Elliot Schreier pointed out yesterday when he was here, the first mitzvah in the Torah, first mitzvah in the Torah is Peruvu. Last mitzvah in the Torah, writing Sefer Torah. It's a link between them. That the point of Peruvu is to educate the next generation of the Torah, is to pass on the Mesoras HaTorah. There's an Indian, a guy who can't fulfill Peruvu, Ksiva Sefer Torah. Having the people will be able to learn and read from the Sefer Torah that you leave behind. So my great uncle left this Sefer Torah. So we have it now in the shul. It spent some time in Staten Island, it spent some time by my uncle Zichron Levrach, and spent some time in Muncie by my aunt. Now it's by me, it's by my shul. Right? So I have a Torah. Do I have a mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah? Says the Gemara, Afal pi sheinichlo avos avladim Sefer Torah, mitzvah lichtov mishlo. Yes, still got to write your own. If the whole purpose of the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah is to learn from it, I have a Torah to learn from. Why do I need to write another one? The impression that you get is that that's not the whole point of the mitzvah, is that there's more to it than just to learn from it. So therefore, Shagasari says, so what's the heter? Why does no one write a Sefer Torah? Like, we need a good explanation. We don't have one. So Shagasari says, Yochol ni liftar midin acher mi mitzvah ksiva Sefer Torah b'zman hazeh. So they got another explanation. Notice the word afilu. Even in the days of the Amoraim, they weren't b'kiyim b'chaseros v'yaseros. Like Rav Yosef said to Abaye in Kiddush Na'ar Daf, inu b'kiyim b'chaseros v'yaseros anan l'b'kiyinan. And the Sefer Torah that's missing or has an extra letter is puzzle. So, and when Rava said that you have to write a Sefer Torah even if your father left you a Sefer Torah, Rava wasn't a baki b'chaseros v'yaseros either. What he meant was, in the olden days when we used to have when we used to be experts b'chaseros v'yaseros, you would have to write a Sefer Torah even if your father left you one. Back in those days, Rava would say, nowadays you're not going to have to write a Sefer Torah anyway because you can't. We don't have the ability to write a kosher Sefer Torah. Maybe the whole mitzvah goes away. So you want a justification why we don't do mitzvah taryag? It's because we can't. We're not b'kiyim b'chaseros v'yaseros. But this causes bigger problems than it solves. It solves the very the relatively small problem that not enough people do the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah. But then it creates the problem that everyone makes a brach levatal every time, two brachs levatal every time they get an aliyah. We were never yotzei Parshas Zachar, we were never yotzei Kriyas HaTorah, we were never yotzei Tefillin, we were never yotzei Mezuzah. I mean, this is much, much worse. So Shagazari says, it's still a mitzvah to write a Sefer Torah b'zman hazeh, even though we can't really do it. Because otherwise, the Torah is going to be mishtakach mi Yisrael. You know, everything's going to be forgotten. And we don't want everything to be forgotten, so we do our best. So, but that's only a mitzvah d'rabbanan. We're no longer able to fulfill the mitzvah d'oraisa. So mitzvah d'rabbanan, we try to make sure that Sefer Torah get written at some point or another. still doesn't satisfy. How can we do all the mitzvot that we do? And we say brachos on tefillin, and you know, do our homes really have mitzvot? Do they not have mitzvot? How does this work? So the Minchas Chinuch in Mitzvah Taryag quotes this Shagas Aryeh and strongly disagrees with the Shagas Aryeh. Minchas Chinuch in Mitzvah Taryag writes that Ulufi Zeh, he says, Mitzvah Zu Rofefes Biyadeinu. If you say like the Shagas Aryeh, we're in big trouble. Dimvor kiddush lamen alav by Rav Yosef vavdu gichom ve'inu hav b'kibe chaser zel na lo b'kin imkain kim din on b'kin imkain afshar kasvim malay chaser oipcha ve'lo mekayim the mitzvah klal. He says if it's true that if you get a malay or a chaser wrong that you're not mekayim the mitzvah sefer Torah, we're in big trouble. So he says Shagasari already points this out, and he says and that's why bizman hazeh no one writes sefer Torah anymore. Says Minchas Chinuch, but you have to say that tefillin, that the parshios of the tefillin, we are bekiyim even in the chaseros v'yaseros. Otherwise, tefillin would be gone. Meaning, he suggests that it's true. Torah on a whole, we're not bekiyim in chaseros v'yaseros, but there are sections of it that we are bekiyim in chaseros v'yaseros. Mizuzah, tefillin, like those parshios, we are bekiyim in chaseros v'yaseros. Now, Minchas Chinuch then is mechadish, and with this we'll close the following critical point. He says, "Nir lani yestaiti birurin shel dvarim, diyesh shnei minei chaser v'yaser." There are two types of chaseros v'yaseros. Echad da'al yedei chaser or yaser nishtana perush hateva or yuchal nishtanos. One type of chaseros v'yaseros is where the extra vav is going to change the meaning of the word or potentially change the meaning of the word. If you spell samach chav vav tav, that would be sukkos plural. Samach vav chav tav is sukkas singular. Those are different words, they mean different things. So that's why we have a whole sugya in Shas. In the beginning of Sanhedrin and in Sukkah and elsewhere, Menachos, that Yeshem leMikra, Yeshem leMesores, that we assume we know how we're supposed to spell the word Totafos and Sukkos, and we assume we know that we're supposed to pronounce it differently than the way we actually spell it. But we assume that we know how we're supposed to spell it. How can we make that assumption? Because a Chaseros v'Yaseros that is going to change the meaning of a word, chas v'shalom, we never lost that. We never forgot that. But chaseros v'yaseros that don't change the meaning of a word, like in names, binyamin, etc., things like that, then, if it's not mishtana, then we assume that's what we're not baki in. And this plays a role in other areas of halacha as well, this chiluk. That which changes the meaning versus that which doesn't change the meaning. Pasul the Sefer Torah doesn't pasul the Sefer Torah. This plays a role in the halachas of correcting a bal koreh. See, every time you correct a bal koreh, there's a delicate balance. On the one hand, you want to get the Kriyas HaTorah right. On the other hand, it's an issur to embarrass someone publicly. Delicate balance. So when is it mutter to correct him? So we paskin exactly like this Minchas Chinuch Chiluk. That if what he said changes the meaning of the word, then you correct him. If it doesn't change the meaning of the word, you don't correct him. Not all Rishonim agree with that. Some Rishonim will, you correct everything. Everything. Rambam, you correct everything. Rabbi Chaim says, Rambam, even Trap. Everything. Other Rishonim go to the other extreme and they say, no, you don't correct anything unless the person says something that's Mechari from Megadiv. Instead of reading Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, he read Hashem Acher. It's Ma'am Shabbi courses. Then you correct it. But we pass like Minchas Chinuch is suggesting with the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah. That a Sefer Torah is still kosher if you don't have the Chaseros V'Yaseros, as long as those Chaseros V'Yaseros are not critical to the meaning of the word. But those Chaseros V'Yaseros are critical to the meaning of the word, we are expert in, we never would have lost that. And such Chaseros V'Yaseros were actually possible Sefer Torah. So we can do the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah. Then we're just stuck with the question of why we don't. But we can, theoretically, we can do the mitzvah of Ksivas Sefer Torah. Okay, that will be it for that. So, Yibbe Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up, we'll continue on the, we'll go over Talmud Beis, to Labanon Beis, and we'll see what's interesting there. We'll have to see what's good to learn over there. I mean, I'm sure everything is good. We'll have to see.